We're holding on Sadiq Dalid, Umud Bays, four lines from the bottom. We learned yesterday about a machlokas Rav and Shmuel about what case it, we know that there's a din called pitikra yod v'soisim, that sometimes we say that the edge of a roof is considered to come down and form a wall over there. So in what cases do we apply that? We had in particular in the case of achsadra babiko, when you have an achsadra, which according to Rashi is open on all four sides and it's in a valley, so there's no other walls or anything near it. So Rav says that we can say pitikra yod v'soisim on all four sides, and therefore you can carry inside it. Good morning, Aaron. And Shmuel says that, no, you can only carry in it 4 amos. We related that then to a machlokas also when you have a house broken into, when can we say pitikra yod v'soisim and not. So now the Gemara continues about details of their machlokas. Be'eser kula amalei pligi. So right, so there's right, that's the point. A house has a roof on top. So one thing we said, Rashi had mentioned that if the roof is pitched, then we don't say pitikra yod v'soisim. But according to Rashi, both Rav and Shmuel would agree with that particular point. No, it doesn't matter how much it's, whether we're talking about whether it's pitched or whether it's flat. But no, it doesn't matter. But no, what is the machlokas? So the Gemara says two different versions of what the case is that they're arguing about. Now, we know we've learned throughout the Masechta that 10 amos is the maximum that can be considered a pesach. Any wider than 10 amos is considered a pirza, is considered a breach. So the Gemara says, be'eser kula on the bottom of Tzadik Dalet Amud Beis, be'eser kula amalei pligi. If the breach is 10 amos wide, then there's no machlokas because Rashi says, never mind pitikra yod v'soisim. You have an opening over there. You have a pesach over there. So a pesach, fine. So you have walls on the other side. You have a pesach over here. So or even if you have, let's say, again, according to Rashi, the achsadra is open on all four sides, but if the sides of it are each less than 10 amos, then according to this first version, there's no machlokas. Of course you can carry in the achsadra. On each side, you have only 10 amos or less. That's considered a pesach. So good. It's sort of like when you have an Eruv made up of Sodas HaPesachs on all four sides, where we say that you can say that then it's considered a Pesach. Tosfos actually learns a little bit differently, if we wanted to call it a Pesach, Tosfos learns you would have to have that it's at least partially enclosed on that side. You can't call it a Pesach if a side is completely open, sort of like we had a day or two ago in connection with a chotzer that was where one side of it was completely broken open. We didn't distinguish between whether it was more or less than 10 amos. Okay, there you get on a pitikra anyway. Tosfos learns anyway that pitikra itself works by making a pesach. The mechanism by which pitikra yod v'soisim works, Tosfos says, is by making a pesach. So therefore, what we have over here is, if it's up to 10 amos wide, then you're able to say pitikra yod v'soisim, and you have a pesach, because it's only 10 amos. The machlokas, according to this first version, would be if the sides of the achsadra are wider than 10 amos, so there you have, Rav would still say that we can say pitikra yod v'soisim. Shmuel would say that not, because it's wider than 10 amos, and it's not even closed in on any of that side. The achsadra, right? It's got only poles in the corner. According to Rashi, again, the achsadra has only poles in the corners. According to Tosfos, actually, it's the other way around. The achsadra is closed in on three sides, and it's open completely on the fourth. So that's the machlokas. Then do we say pitikra yod v'soisim on a completely open side? So if it's less than 10 amos, fine, it's still a pesach, even though it's completely open. But if it's wider than 10, then Shmuel would say that not. The Ikadamri, another version is the Yosef Kulam Lipzigi, just the opposite. If the opening is wider than 10 amos, then there's no machlokas. Even Rav can't agree that would be considered a pesach, because wider than 10 amos. Ki pligi be'eser, the machlokas would be, if it's 10 or less, where there Rav would say, look, it's less than 10, it's 10 amos or less, so it should be a pesach. And Shmuel would say, nevertheless, though, you still can't say pitikra yod v'soisim, where it's completely open. Okay. Now, so let's consider, the Gemara says, V'hoda Amar of Yehuda. Now, we have a number of dinim that we've learned earlier in previous prakim where we apply the din of pitikra yod v'soisim. So we have to figure out, now that we have two versions of what Rav and Shmuel are arguing about, when we say pitikra and when we don't, then we have to figure out which opinions would those statements follow. So V'hoda Amar of Yehuda, this that we had in the previous perek, that Rabbi Yehuda had said, Koda Abba Mater Bechurva, that if you have a ruined house, And you have a beam at least 4 tefachim wide extending still. Sometimes you have, as Rashi had said over there, sometimes you have a ruined house. Most of the roof has fallen in, but you still have in one or two places, you have beams that are left from the ceiling, from the roof originally. And one of those beams happens to be 4 tefachim wide. So matar b'churva, it would allow you to carry underneath it in the churva. Where do you see down? Oh, Koda Arba, Koda Dalad, yeah, Matar B'Churva, that a Koda 4 tefachim wide is Matar when it comes to a Churva, namely, in other words, that you'd be able to carry underneath it, because, again, since it's 4 tefachim wide, so it's enclosed, so if we say Pitikul Yod V'Sosim on the two sides of the beam, then those walls are enclosing an area of at least 4 by 4 tefachim, that's enough for them to be considered Nechitzis. And another din, Rav Nachman Amar Rav Bavua Koda Dalad Matar B'Mayim, a similar din that Rav Nachman had said in the name of Rav Bavua. We had a case involving water. We had a case involving a well between two chatzeres. We talked about over there that you need a wall between them, and the wall needs to dip down into the well, etc. But we had a din there that Rav Nachman had said that you can also have a piece of wood, a beam 4 tefachim wide that goes across the entire well, and that's matu you now to draw water. The two chatzeres now can draw water from either side of the well, right? Again, because we say that now the area under the beam is considered to be enclosed by mechitzas. Mani. So who would that be according to? Would that be according to Rav or Shmuel or both? So, lahach lishna da'amit be'esu le'pligi. If you say the first lashon that there's no argument, they both allow pitikul yod v'sosim when the thing is up to 10 amos wide, is up to including 10 amos wide, then good. Be'eser, then the cases we're talking about over here about the churva and about the well is be'eser, is where the beam that's left is no more than ten amos wide. The divrei hakol, and it would work according to both Rab and Shmuel, because both of them would say that we can apply pitikul in that case. Lahach lishna de'amit be'eser pligi. On the other hand, if you say that the machlokas is when it's more than 10, so Rav will still allow it. Rav will still allow it, even though it's wider than 10. And Shmuel will say no. Once it's wider than 10, then no. If we say that loshen, if we say be'eser pligi. If we say that they're arguing even when it's 10 amos, that even when it's 10 amos or narrower, Rav is still not going to, Shmuel is still not going to allow you, is still not going to apply Pitikra. Okay, then these dinim would be Karav. Then these two dinim of Rav Nachman, of Rav Yehuda, and Rav Nachman would be according to Rav. If it's less than 10 amos wide, well, that's the true Lashonis. According to the second Lashon, even when the area is 10 amos wide, or now is 10 amos or narrower, Shmuel is still not going to apply Pitikra when you have to apply it on both ends of a beam or on both ends of a house or whatever. So this would not work out according to Shmuel. It would have to be specifically according to Rav. Okay. The Gemara asks, Lema Abaya v'Rava b'plugta de Rav or Shmuel k'miflagi. In that case, would we have to say that Abaya and Rava are arguing the same machlokas as Rav and Shmuel, which then we have to ask why they'd be arguing it again? And also, if it comes out that way, it would come out that, as we're going to see in a second, it would come out that Rava is going to be going like Shmuel. The problem with that is that in this machlokas over here, the halach is like Rav, because usually in Dine Issa Veheter, the halacha is like Rav over Shmuel. On the other hand, we know the halacha is usually like Rava over Abaya, so then what would it be? So, De Itmar, we have a discussion between Abaya and Rava as follows. We learned this the other day. If you put schach on top of an achsadra which has patsimin. Now, before Rashi had explained that what it meant was you have the achsadra has two complete walls on the two sides, namely the walls of the mavui or whatever that the achsadra is located in. Then you have on the third, on the one, the other sides are open except that one of the sides has patsimin, has beams in the front of it that stick out a tefach into the, it makes in effect third wall, right? You have a little bit of a third wall on one side, from one side and the other. So if it has patsimin like that, here actually Rashi explains differently. Here Rashi explains sheyesh la patsimin means that it has the mechitzas themselves are also made up of pillars, but the pillars are within 3 tefachim of one another. So lavud could apply. So, Ksheira, so then set the fingers kosher. Ein lo patsimin, what happens if it doesn't have patsimin? So according to Rashi over there, it means the third and fourth sides are completely open. And according to Rashi over here, it means that the amudim are further apart than three tefachim. Abaya amak ksheira, Rava amak psula. Abaya says that even so, such a sukkah is kosher. Rava says it's fossil. Abaya amak ksheira, amak p'tikra yod b'sosim. Because Abaya says, even though we don't have the third and fourth side are completely open, well, even though you don't need these amudim within three tefachim, we can still say p'tikra yod b'sosim of the beams that you have at the edges of the sukkah, all around the achsadra. So therefore, good, you can say p'tikra yod b'sosim, and therefore you have walls. The Rava amak psula lo yamak p'tikra yod b'sosim. Rava says that doesn't work. So the question is then, we're talking about as far as sukkahs. Is this a kosher or sukkah? This top of it is covered with sack, of course, but we're talking about, again, we did establish before that one thing we need for p'tikra yod b'sosim, you have to have that the edge of the tikra is smooth. So if it was just sack all the way to the edges, that might not work for p'tikra anyway. We have to be talking about that around the edges there are beams, and then you're talking about using those for p'tikra. Yeah, one beam at each end, yeah. So, lema abaya kerav rova kishmul. Would we have to say then? Good morning, Ellie. Would we have to say that Abaya is going like Rav and Rava is going like Shmuel? We're holding about the middle of the narrow lines inside of Kayam and Aleph. So again, the question would be then: why would Rava and Abaya have to have the same machlokas again as Rav and Shmuel? And number two, then who would the halacha be like? Because if the halacha is supposed to be like Rav, but the halacha is supposed to be like Rava, but if Rava is going like Shmuel, then what do we do? So the answer is no. No, if we're talking within Shmuel's opinion, then there's no argument. Abaya is definitely going like Rav. Abaya would say, yes, Shmuel would agree that such a sukkah would be possible because in the case of the Achsadra, what it is so Shmuel would say like this. Let's consider this Achsadra. The roof over it was made for the purpose of using the achsadra. And still Shmuel is saying that we can't apply p'tikra yod b'sosim to it. How much more so when it comes to sukkah, where these beams were not even made, l'shem sukkah. Now, okay, you don't need the walls of the sukkah to be made l'shem sukkah, fine, but at least you have to have that they were made, at least you have to have that they exist l'shem sukkah. Here, the beams that you want to use for p'tikra yod v'sosim are not even, they weren't even placed there to begin with for sukkah. So Abaya says, yeah, of course Shmuel would say that it would be possible. You don't have p'tikra yod v'sosim over here, therefore you don't have walls. The main part of a kosher sukkah is the schach, of course, but you still need walls. You don't need the walls to be put up l'shem sukkah, per se. You can have, for example, we know you can make a sukkah in your backyard or something, even though the walls were put up for some other purpose, but at least there have to then be walls over there. Here you don't even have actual walls. You're just using p'tikra to create walls, so then you have to have at least that there's something there l'shem sukkah. Actually, in Masech the Sukkah, where it also brings the sugya, Rashi explains a little bit differently. The vort is over there, he explains you have an achsadra within a chotzer, and the question is basically the walls or the pillars around the achsadra, were they made for the purpose of the achsadra, or were they made for the purpose of the chotzer? The walls around the achsadra. You have a chotzer, and inside it, in the middle, you have an achsadra. You have, let's say, building out from the walls of the chotzer. You have an achsadra, and then you have pillars all around it. So were those pillars made for the purpose of the achsadra, or for the purpose of the chotzer? Anyway, the point is,
In the case of a sukkah, are you implying that p'tikra yored v'sosim, it's enough, you don't need 10 fucking walls?
That's what Abaya is saying, that yes, well, that's what we're arguing, that's what we're saying, is that Abaya seems to be saying that yes, when it comes to sukkah, we can apply p'tikra yored v'sosim, even though you don't have actual walls there, yeah. But so right now we're
that
saying
sounds, that sounds very surprising.
Okay, but nevertheless, that's what Abaya holds. Look, I mean, the halacha is not like Abaya, so don't go using an achsadra and trying to make a sukkah out of it without putting up actual walls. But Abaya will hold it's okay. But the Gemara is saying Abaya will say, fine, I know that what I'm saying is not according to everybody. I know Shmuel will disagree with it. Okay, I have no problem with that. I can disagree with Shmuel. We're both Amiroyim. The halacha is like Rav anyway, so therefore, fine.
How would you close the walls of the cutter that it would be considered kosher?
Well, if it was within 4 amos of the walls of the chotzer and you had a roof extending out from the chotzer, then it would be kosher anyway on the grounds of doifen akuma, because you have, there's a halacha l'moshe m'sinai when it comes to sukkah, that you can have a wall that's considered bent over where you have up to 4 amos, so then that would work. Yeah. So again, within Shmuel's opinion, right, Abaya will say that no, what I'm saying, I know it's not like Shmuel. Fine. Ki pligi al libe de Rav. The machloikas Abaya and Rava would be within Rav's opinion. So Abaya ke Rav, Abaya is just going flat out like Rav. Rav says you can do pichik or yerid v'sosim by the achsadra as far as Shabbos. So Abaya says the same thing, you can do it as far as sukkah. No problem. The Rava, what would Rava answer to that? He would say, ad kan l'ka'oma Rav hosam. He would say the difference is, you know what Rav is saying over there, the reason why it works, after all, the mechitzis, meaning the beams that were there in order to make the edges of the achsadra, those were made for the purpose of the achsadra. So therefore, fine, we can say pitik v'yerid v'sosim in order to enclose the achsadra and be able to carry it in on Shabbos. Aval hocha dehani mechitzis lav l'sukkah avidi. Like we just said, after all, these beams were not placed there l'shem sukkah. So, okay, again, you don't need mechitzis l'shman, but we're not going to be makel so much as to say that we're going to do, even according to Rav, that we're going to say pitik or yerid v'sosim based on beams that aren't even there for the purpose of sukkah. To that extent, Rava says Rav is not going to say that, and therefore loy, so therefore not. So Rava says that is why, even though Rav would allow such a thing when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, he won't allow it when it comes to sukkah, which is why Rava is saying, I can say that it's possible without contradicting Rav. Right. Well, you have to put wood there anyway. I mean, when we learn the sechta sukkah, that's the shem we'll get to, because you can't put schach directly on top of metal. Right. So if you put a piece of wood there specifically for that purpose, maybe Rava would say that it's allowed because you did put it there l'shem sukkah, but maybe not, because again, you know. According to Abaya, it would be considered pichik or yerid v'sosim. Rava is not going to allow that frame around the achsadra to be pichik or yerid v'sosim. He requires actual walls. He requires at least 2.5 walls, as usual, by sukkah. Yeah. Okay. Continues the Gemara. We said in the Mishnah of Yosi. Now, we have the case in the Mishnah where we had various cases where a mechitza fell down. We had where a chotzer was broken into from two sides, a house was broken into from two sides, and we said it doesn't necessarily mean two sides, one opposite the other. It means two sides by a corner. Whatever, we had a case where Mavri lost its lechi or koda during Shabbos. So in all those cases, Rabbi Yehuda says you can carry in it for the rest of that Shabbos, because Shabbos kiven shehutra hutra. And then Rabbi Yossi says that no, if it's mutter for that Shabbos, then it's mutter for future Shabbosim. And if it's also for future Shabbosim, then it has to be also for this Shabbos as well. In other words, so Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold of Shabbos kiven shehutra hutra. Yeah, this is all topics that's coming up now in Perek Echad of Rambam, right? We'll see that. Okay. So Rabbi Yossi had said if it's mutter for the one Shabbos, then it's mutter for subsequent Shabbosim as well, and if not, then not. So Ibayalahu Rabbi Yossi less or lahatir. What is Rabbi Yossi coming to tell us? Does he want to tell us it's also for this Shabbos? Or maybe Rabbi Yossi is saying no, it's mutter for the rest of the Shabbos on the grounds of Kivin Trahotra Hotra, and therefore maybe it's mutter on subsequent Shabbosim as well. Well, that's the question. Rabbi Yossi is phrasing it, if it's mutter for this Shabbos, it's mutter for future Shabbosim. So maybe at least as long as people remember that there was a lechi or a koda over there or something, maybe it would work. Maybe Rabbi Yossi would say you have to put up something, but it doesn't have to have the full dinim of a lechi or koda yet, whatever. So Amar Rav Sheshet is lesser. Rav Sheshet says Rabbi Yossi wants to aser. Rabbi Yossi is telling us that no, once it was aser, we don't say for this purpose Shabbos kevin shehutra hutra. We say, once the lechi or koda or whatever fell down, then no, you have to stop carrying. V'cheinu Amar Rav Yechanan lesser, and Rav Yechanan says the same thing. Tanya nami hochi, you learn similarly in a braisa, Amar Rav Yossi, k'shem sha'asurin la'os in lovoi, just as it's also for la'os in lovoi, and l'chora it would be obviously that way, because as long as you don't have a lechi or koda, you can't carry there. Kach asurin lo'is a Shabbos, so it's also for that Shabbos. Okay. Who is the halacha like? Itma, Rav Chiya bar Yosef, Amar halacha k'Rav Yosi, Ushmuel Amar halacha k'Rav Yehuda. So it's a machlokes amiroyim who the halacha is like. Do we say that it's also for the rest of that Shabbos, or do we say that it's actually mutter for the rest of that Shabbos? So the question is, me Amar Shmuel Hachi, did Shmuel really say that the halacha is like Rav Yehuda, and that it would be mutter for the rest of that Shabbos, that Shabbos kivin shehutra hutra? V'hatnan, we learned earlier in our Masechta, Amar Rav Yehuda, b'med v'ra mamun v'eruv v'tchumen, we were talking about over there a case where you make an eruv on behalf of somebody else. Do you need to inform them? Do you need their das? And the Mishnah had said that yes. And Rabbi Yehuda had said that when do you need their das? By Erev Tchumen, because by Erev Tchumen, it's not a complete schus, because they're gaining in one direction, but they're losing in the other direction. Aval be'erev e'chatzeres. But when it comes to making an Erev Chatzeres, Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana, had said, Ma'arvin bein l'das, bein shalei l'das. You can make an Erev for somebody, whether with their das or without it. Lefi shezochen la'odem shalei b'fonov, bein choven ela b'fonov, because you can make a schus for somebody even not in their presence. You can't make a choy for them only in their presence. But Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Now, in that connection, Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, halacha k'Rav Yehuda, in that particular, not only in that particular case, first of all, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, the loy oid, and not only that, continues Shmuel, ela kol makam shashana Rabbi Yehuda be'eruvin, halacha k'maisei. Wherever in eruvin, Rabbi Yehuda says a din, the halacha is always like him. So what is Shmuel saying over here? And one second, V'amale Rav Chana Bagadta Rav Yehuda. Then Rav Chana Bagadta asked Rav Yehuda. Bagadta either means from Baghdad, or there's other places where Rashi explains that it means that he was a Baal Agada. He was an expert in Agada. He taught his local in Yaakov Shir, let's say. So he asked Rav Yehuda, when Shmuel says the halacha is like a Yehuda, everywhere when it comes to Eruvin, does he mean even this case of a Mavoi where the Lechi or Koda fell down on Shabbos? And Rabbi Yehuda answers Rav Chana, no. Shmuel's rule applies only to dinim of Eruv, as in Eruv Chatzeres, Eruv Tchumen, etc., not to matters of Mechitzis, where the Lechi and the Kora, part of the reason why they're there, is Mishum Mechitza. So we see, therefore, that Shmuel is saying the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to matters of Mechitzis. So the halacha here should have to be like Rabbi Yasi. So what is he saying? The halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda even here, and Shabbos kivin shehutra hutra. The answer is Amar of Onan l'didini farshele minei de Shmuel. Shmuel personally explained to me the difference is kan shenifritz ala karmelis, kan shenifritz ala shosarabim. There's a difference whether it was breached open to karmelis. Then we can allow it, like Rabbi Yehuda, Shabbos kivin shehutra hutra. Because after all, what happens if a person does carry beyond where they're supposed to? Maximum, they're being over on an issur d'rabbanan. And we're makel by that. Kan shenifritz ala rishos harabim, as opposed to, we're talking about over here, it was broken into rishos harabim, and therefore you can't, because if you end up carrying beyond where you're supposed to, then you could be over on a din d'oraisa. So there we would say the halacha is like Rabbi Yasi. So now you're mentioning Rambam. So that's the answer. So now the question still becomes, who is the halacha like? Is the basic halacha like Rabbi Yosi, or is it like Rabbi Yehuda? Tosfos actually says over here, the fact is that we usually say when we have a machlokas Rav and Shmuel, the halacha is usually like Rav in Dini Issa V'Heter. So here the halacha would be that the halacha would have to be like Rabbi Yosi. That even though it was only broken open to Carmelis, nevertheless it would still be Osir. In other words, there is a case where we would say Shabbos Kibin Shehutra Hutra. That is a case where the Mechitzah still exists, but you have other problems. For example, we had the case the other day involving the two Chatzeres where the wall between them fell down. The Chatzeres still are surrounded by walls. All you have is before you had some people who were not members of the Eruv, of the one Chatzar, because each Chatzar made their own separate Eruv, and now it fell down, and now you have a problem that you have Nitos for Diyurin, as you said, new residents were added. So then fine, we can say that Rabbi Yossi would agree that Shabbos came into Hotra Hotra. But when you're dealing with matters of Mechitzis, then not. On the other hand, you have Rishonim, and I believe that Rambam is among them, who do distinguish between, like we say in the Gemara over here, whether it was broken open into Rishas Rabim or into Carmelis, which would be like Shmuel. Yeah. Okay. Mishnah says, Habona Aliyah al-Gabishne Batim. If a person builds a second story above two houses, so you have like a pedestrian overpass, like you have, for example, you go to, let's say, the Atlantic Mall, you see you have between the buildings over there, or like by 770, you have between the library building and 770 building itself, you have that overpass over there, which is an extension of the library. So suppose you built something like that. So now you think about it, underneath that space, you have the two walls of the buildings. You have the building, let's say the wall of 770 on one side and the wall of 766 on the other side. And then you have an overpass, and you can say Pitikra Yerud Vesoysim. So do we do that? Do we consider that place a Rosh HaYachid? Well, four tefach, it's a minimum of four tefach and wide. Fine, let's say the library. Yeah, well, no, again, so, okay, so basically, we had the machlokas Rav and Shmuel before, fine. Would you say up to 10 amas or only more than 10 amas or whatever, fine. But as far as the thickness of it, it has to be at least 4 tefachim, like we said before. Okay, so let's say that overpass by the library, by 770, is much more than 4 tefachim thick, yeah. V'chein gishorim hamafoloshim, similarly, bridges that are completely open, same idea. In other words, you have a bridge where at the bottom you have walls on the two sides of the bridge, and then you have the so like you think of, for example, let's say, well, sort of like highway overpasses, let's say. Yeah, let's say, for example, yes. So you have so the point is it's open through, obviously, for cars to be able to get through. The point is, right, the two sides are complete walls. Let's say, yeah, I mean, the George Washington Bridge, I mean, okay, there you have the actual cables are more than 3 tefachim apart. I don't know if those would count as walls, but let's say you had solid walls on the two sides of the bridge. Metaltlin tachten b'Shabbos divir Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says you'll be allowed to carry underneath them on Shabbos because they're considered a Rosh HaYachid. Because again, you have two complete walls. Rabbi Yehuda holds two complete walls is enough even on a dirt. Well, so actually we're going to see in the Gemara two possible reasons why Rabbi Yehuda would allow it. Is it because Rabbi Yehuda holds two walls around a space is enough to make it already a Rosh HaYachid on a Daraisa level? Whereas the Chachamim would say you need at least three, maybe even four. Or is it because Rabbi Yehuda says Pitikra Yerud V'Soysin? So we'll see that in the Gemara. That's what we're going to see that. V'chamim Oysrin, the Chum say it's Oysr. V'oid Omer Rabbi Yehuda Ma'arvin L'mavo Yama Foolish. Also Rabbi Yehuda says, if you have a Mavo Yama Foolish, so you have at the beginning of the Masechta, we talk about a Mavo Yisosum, which is closed in on three sides and open on the fourth to Rosh HaSarabim, or to Carmelis, but here you have one that's open at both ends, a through street. Rabbi Yehuda will allow you to make an Eruv for it, because after all, you have two Mechitzes. V'cham Oysrim and the Cham Seir will be also, because you need three Mechitzes in order to be able to make a Lechi or a Koda. So we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, the Chachamim would say then you'd have to have a Tzuras HaPesach at one end, and then you can have a Lechi or a Koda at the other end. Yeah, like you have some of the alleyways here, yeah. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. Omer Rabba. Yeah. Loi Tema Hainu Tema de Rabbi Yehuda Mishum de Kasava Beis Mechitzes Daraisa. So Rabba says, don't think the reason that Rabbi Yehuda is allowing you to carry under the overpass or under the bridge over there is because he holds two mechitzes is enough to make a Rosh HaYachid Daraisa, and in other words, that it's not, that has nothing to do with Pitikra. Ela Mishum Dekasava Pitikra Yerud V'Soysim. The reason why he allows it is strictly because of Pitikra. Meaning, in other words, if there was no overpass, if let's say you just had an area between two walls in Rosh HaSarabim, Rabbi Yehuda would not necessarily allow you to carry over there, because you don't have a roof over it. Because you don't have anything to say, Pitikra. Yeah. Well, the question is, Esve Abaya. Abaya says to Rabba, what do you mean? We have a Braisa, which we've quoted a number of times in the Masechta, as well as a couple of times in Masechta Shabbos. Yes, it arcane Omer Rabbi Yehuda. Beyond that, Rabbi Yehuda says, where we had the first part of the Braisa mentions cases similar to our Mishnah, where you have, let's say, a bridge or an overpass or whatever, and there's a Rosh HaSarabim underneath it, where Rabbi Yehuda will allow you to carry in it, even though it's a Rosh HaSarabim, again, because it has two walls and because we can say Pitikra, and yes, it arkein Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Beyond that, Rabbi Yehuda even says, Mish yesh leshnei batim mishnei tzidi Rosh HaSarabim, if a person owns two houses, one on each side of Rosh HaSarabim, so that if we can make an Eruv between them, then we don't need an Eruv Chatzeres, because they both belong to the same person. Oysa Lechi Mikan, the Lechi Mikan. He can put up a Lechi at each end, so one Lechi by the edge of one house, and one Lechi by the edge of the other one, so that each end of this area between the houses has a Lechi at one end of it. The Lechi is a vertical one, yeah? Oi Koda Mikan, the Koda Mikan. Or you can put up a Koda, a horizontal beam, between one house and the next on one side and on the other. The Nosa, the Nosa, and the Emsa, and then he can carry things in the middle. Now there's no Pitik Riyarid Vesosim. And Omrulai Ein Ma'avin Rosh Hashanah B'Kach. And the Chum said, no, that's no good. That's not a valid way to make an Eruv in Rosh Hashanah. As we learned in the first Perek, if you want to make an Eruv in Rosh Hashanah, you would have to put up actual doors at the two ends. That way, you have, they have to be able to be closed. It's a machlokes as a poskim, whether you have to sometimes close them or whether it just has to be that they're capable of being closed, even if you never close them. What if the door is stuck in mud, then you have to unstick it, etc. Yeah, yeah, this is all, like you said, Perek Echad of Rambam currently. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So the point is, we see from that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't need Pitikra. Rabbi Yehuda is fine just with the fact that you have two houses on the two sides. So you have two walls on either side of Rosh Hashanah. He says, then you can just put up a Lechi or a Korah on each end, and you're good. So you see, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't need Pitikra. Just the fact that you have two walls is enough. So what are you telling me that Rabbi Yehuda's reasoning in On Mishnah is based on Pitikra? Amalei, so Rabbi answers him, Mehahi ein. Yeah, based on that braisa, you're right. Based on that braisa, you could say that we see that Rabbi Yehuda holds that two mechitzes is good enough to araisa. Meha lekala mishma mina. But from our Mishnah, you don't have a proof of that. In our Mishnah, the fact that our Mishnah presents only the cases involving a bridge or an overpass or whatever shows that the Tana of our Mishnah understands Rabbi Yehuda to be saying that the reason why it works is only on the grounds of Pitikra. That if there's no Tikra, then Rabbi Yehuda would agree that you can't carry there. That's the thing. So then you don't even need a lechi. That's the point. In other words, our Mishnah would be telling us that Rabbi Yehuda holds that Pitikra works to make, as you have two complete walls and the two others are made by Pitikra, then you're good. You don't need anything else. The Braisa adds that actually Rabbi Yehuda would allow it even without Pitikra. But the Mishnah is telling us, yeah. Amar Ravashi must nisim nami deka. In fact, you can see from our Mishnah, though, that Rabbi Yehuda does, even though the Mishnah doesn't say it explicitly, nevertheless, you can still see from the wording of our Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda agrees, that Rabbi Yehuda holds that two mechitzas are enough, even when there's no Pitikra to speak of. Because the Mishnah continues. V'oid om Rabbi Yehuda ma'arvin m'mavay ha'mafulash. Rabbi Yehuda goes on to say that you can make an Eruv in a mavay ha'mafulash, v'cham ha'osrin. The Cham say it's osir. If you say that Rabbi Yehuda allows it only because of Pitikra Yod Vesoisim, then that's why the Mishnah is adding Va'oid. Beyond that, even when there's no Pitikra Yod Vesoisim, nevertheless Rabbi Yehuda still allows it because he has two mechitzes as a fallback. So in other words, basically he would require you to have two, when there's Pitikra, he'll definitely allow it. And even when there's no Pitikra, he'll still say, even then I'm allowing it because I do allow two mechitzes as well. But if you say that in the Reisha, where he's allowing it in the case of the overpass between the two houses or the bridge, if we were to say he's allowing it only because of the two mechitzas on the sides and ignoring Pitikra, then, and he held Shtei mechitzas Daraisa, my va'oi. Then why would he have a va'oid? What is he adding in the case of the Mavo Yama Fulosh that wouldn't be in the other cases? In all the cases, you have two mechitzes. Shmamino, so that shows that in the Reisha he's talking about from the point of view of Pitikra, and in the Sefer he's talking from the point of view of two mechitzes. So both of them he says is fine. Rashi actually brings a different girsa over here, which he prefers. That Gemara's proof is that in the Reisha, the Girsa we have in front of us is that Rav Ashi is proving that Abaya is correct, that the Braisa is not arguing with the Mishnah. The Braisa is clarifying that after all, Rabbi Yehuda holds that Shtei Mechitzes is good enough, and you don't need Pitikra. Because we see that in the Mishnah he continues with Va'oid and tells us that not only Pitikra works, but even Shtei Mechitzes. But Rashi brings a different Girsa, which he prefers, which is that just the other way around. If we say that we want to bring a proof to Rabbah that in the Reisha he's saying specifically because of Pitikra, that in the Reisha, if it was just a matter of two mechitzes, it wouldn't work. Namely, the argument goes like this. If you say that in the first part of the Mishnah he says Pitikra Yod Vesosim, and in the second part he's saying Shtei Mechitzes, then we're saying Va'oid, that even though there's no Pitikra, but if we were to say that the first part is also because of Shtei Mechitzes, then what's the Va'oid, then what is the second part adding to the first part? So it's a slightly different gusa. The gusa we have in front of us is Iyamet Bishlema, Mishum de Kosava, Pitikri, Yerid Besoisim, in the first part, then, Yes. So let me see. Rashi says the first girsa that Rashi has is if you said in the first part it's because shtei mechitzes, then you say va'oid in the sefer even though when there's no pitikra. But if you say the beginning is because of pitikra, then mutz. Oh, so that's what it is. The first girsa in Rashi is that if you said is not the first girsa in Rashi is not the girsa we have in front of us. The first girsa in Rashi is eli amit mishum de kasava pitikra. Then there's no pitikra in the second part. The second girsa in Rashi, which he prefers, is the one that we have in front of us in the Gemara. The first girsa that Rashi brings is that the Gemara is arguing, you have to say the second part is because of Shtei Mechitzes, because you can't say that in the whole Mishnah, it's because of Pitikra, because in the Sefer there's no Pitikra. Whereas the second gear says that no, in both parts he's saying that in the first part he's saying Pitikra, and in the second one he's saying not only Pitikra, but even Shtei Mechitzes is good enough. When we have in the Gemara itself, when we have Lishna Achrina, the halacha is usually the second one. Here it's not in the Gemara itself. We don't have in the Gemara itself. They just had different kisveya that had different gersois. Rashi mentions the first one he heard from his rebbein, and the second one, which is the way we have in front of us in the Gemara, is the one that Rashi finds more logical and acceptable. Okay. Hadron halacha called Gagas. So the halacha is in the end not like Rabbi Yehuda. So you need at least three mechid. Right, which is why we need a lechi or a koira, yeah. And if you have a mavi mefulosh, then you need a tzuras pesach at one end and a lechi or koira at the other. And if you want to make an eruv and nushas rabim, then you need doors. Yeah. Right. So now you have tzuras. Right. So on some of the alleyways, you'll find tzuras pesach for that reason. Right. Okay. This last perek that we're going to do now of Masechta Eruvin. Most of it talks about dinim of Hetzal v'Achnasa. Speaking of Perek Echad of Rambam, many of the dinim in it are going to be, either they were already, or they're going to be in the next couple of days, in Perek Echad of Rambam, in Hilchos Shabbos. So that in a certain sense, they don't really belong in Masechta Eruvin. And Tosfos points that out. Why is it over here in, as the last Perek of Eruvin? Tosfos says two reasons. Number one, because in the continuation of the Mishnah, it mentions something about the Tum, so therefore it belongs in Eruvin, which talks about the dinim of Tumin. Also because at the end of the Perek, we have a statement of Rav Shimon, which is referring, where the Gemara explains that part of its statement is referring all the way back to something we learned in the fourth perek on Daf Nun Aleph. So it belongs in Ar Masechta because it is dealing here and there with things in Ar Masechta. When we learn the end of the Masechta, we'll talk about that. But there's a sicha, the Siyuman Eruvin, where the Rebbe explains why Eruvin ends, particularly with that statement. Anyway, the point is that Tosfos says if it weren't for that, then yes, this perek would have gone in Masechta Shabbos. I have a bit of a theory about it that in most of the Shishi Sidri Mishnah, you find that Masechtas go in the order of Prakim. You have the longer ones are first, and then it goes gradually to the shorter ones. And some people think that that's tacky the reason. If you ask why is this Masechta before that one, then the reason is because this one has more prakim than that one. The problem with that is that when the Rishonim deal with this question of why the Masechtas are in the order they are, they never mention that. The Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos deals with why is Brachas before Peah, and why is Peah before Dmai, and why is Shabbos before Eruvin, and Eruvin before Pesachim, and so forth. And he never mentions anything about the lengths of the Masechtas. And Rav Shmuel Gaon also, in his Igeres, one of the questions that he was asked is, why are the Masechtas in Seder Moed in the order that they are? And again, it gives reasons, but nothing to do with the number of Prakim. So I have an idea about it, that it's the other way around. Because a certain Masechta had to be first, for the reasons that the Rambam or Rav Shmuel or whoever give, therefore Rebbe also wanted, once it's arranged in that order, then the longer ones should be first. So therefore, now what happens over here? Eruvin necessarily has to go after Shabbos, because Eruvin is dealing with Hilchos Shabbos. Pesachim, though, the next Masechta has 10 Prakim. And there's no way really to cut that down, because every perek of Pesachim deals with a different issue. So you can't really jam any two of them together. If Eruvin had only 9 Prakim, then the order would be a little odd. Why is Eruvin with 9 Prakim coming before Pesachim with 10? So therefore, Rebbe had to pad out, this is my theory, Rebbe had to pad out Eruvin to 10 Prakim, and he accomplished that by taking this perek, which after all does have a little bit in connection with the dinim that we learned in Masechta Eruvin, and added it to the end of Eruvin in order to make it 10 Prakim.
Wait,
And this way you have, so Eruvin belongs where it should after Shabbos, and it doesn't look inconsistent to have a shorter Masechta before a longer one. So I don't know if that's correct, but that's a theory of mine. Okay. So the Mishnah says, Hamotzi Tfilin. If a person on Shabbos finds tefillin out in the field, and the problem is they're going to get wounded. Goyim may take them, dogs may, whatever. Yeah. So what do? Machnisan zug zug. You take them into the city one pair at a time. Meaning you put on the shoyad on your arm, you put on the shorosh on your head, and you walk into the city. You put them down over there. You go back for the next pair and repeat the process. We're going to talk about that. Rabbi Gamliel, Mishnayim. Rabbi Gamliel says you can do two pair at a time, as we'll see in the Gemara why. Bamed vorem amurim b'yishonos. When is this talking about? When the tefillin are old. Now, old means, in other words, you can look at the straps, and you can look at the ritzuas, and see that they have the knots, the dalad knot for the shoyad, and the yud knot for the dalad knot for the shorosh, and the yud knot for the shoyad, which shows, therefore, that they're actually tefillin. Even if the ritzuas are untied, and by the way, there are rishonim who learn that at least with the shoyad, that the knot has to actually be undone and redone every single day in order to be mekayim, or kshartim l'oysa yodecha. The Alter Rebbe invented the knot that we use, which is what we make the loop bigger and smaller in order that we're mekayim ukshartam that way. Because every day we're, as opposed to the velt, uses a one that has the loop as a permanent size, and they just wrap it around their arm. But there are, in fact, rishonim who hold you literally have to untie the knot and retie it every day. Anyway, the point is, we all know how it is, though, after a while that the tefillin have been knotted, then you can see in the shape of the ritzuas that there was the knot there. So then we know these are tefillin. And then you can put them on, and then you can take them into the city so they're not left in Bizoyan. Ava b'chadoshes, but if they're new tefillin, potter, then he's potter, because they may not be tefillin at all. They may be a kameya. Kameyas in those days were made often in the shape of tefillin, but obviously they didn't have the dalad knot and the yud knot, so therefore, sir, and if they're kameyas, they don't have any kedusha, so therefore you can't be mechal Shabbos to take them in. Continues the Mishnah. Motzon tzvosim oi krichos. If you found not just one pair of tefillin, but you found tzvosim or krichos. So tzvosim means that you have a bunch of tefillin tied together. Krichos also, tzvosim and krichos both mean that you have a bunch of them tied together. We'll see in the Gemara eventually, we'll see in the Gemara in a couple of blocks what the difference is between tzvosim and krichos. The point is you have a lot of pairs over there, so you can't really get them all in. Even if you take them one pair in at a time during Shabbos, you're not going to finish by the end of Shabbos. Therefore, machshech aleinu mabian. What you do is you wait there until Shabbos ends and watch them. And then, when it gets dark, when Shabbos is over, then you take them all in. So, well, the Gemara will deal with why you don't just take them in one pair at a time. Uvisakona. However, if it's a time of danger, you can't stay there. So over here, Rashi says the reason is because you're afraid of bandits, for example. There are wild people, there are rioters or bandits or whatever out. Later on, the Gemara is going to explain that actually the sakona over here we're talking about is a time when the goyim outlawed putting on tefillin, and therefore if you're caught with tefillin in your possession, then you're going to be in big trouble. So then, then what you do is you cover them up and you go. You can't bring them in. You can't bring them in on Shabbos because of the danger, or because there's too many of them. So you can't stay there till after Shabbos again because of the danger. So fine, you cover them up and leave them there, and if you have what to cover them with. Reb Shimon Omer. Reb Shimon says here's another possibility. You can give them to someone else, and someone else can give them to someone else. You're carrying it each person less than 4 amos. Until you reach the outer chotzer of the city, the first chotzer where you can place them safely, where they can stay there until the end of Shabbos, you do that. Now, so that takes care of the problem of carrying in Rosh Hashanah. What about carrying from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah? How are you avoiding that problem? After all, somebody has to bring it into the chotzer. So the Alter Rebbe mentions in Shulchan Aruch, what you do is you give it to the last person while he's walking. And then he walks into the chotzer, so that way he hasn't done an akira. At least that way he hasn't done an akira from Moshe Sarabim. So that way it's not the ideal thing, but here in order not to have bizoyin of tefillin, then we're going to allow it, says Reb Shimon. if you find a bunch of people with you. And also, we have to be talking about, the Gemara is going to point out, we can't be talking about the case of Sakana, because again, if it's Sakana, because the Goyim have outlawed tefillin, then you don't want, you can't have more people do it with you, because then the more people you have, the more people are going to get in trouble. So yeah, so we'll see that in the Gemara. The same thing, if a person has his son, so his wife was out in the field on Shabbos and gave birth over there, so now you have the baby, needs to be brought into the city to take care of him. Same thing, one person can give it to the other to another, even if there are 100 of them. Doesn't matter how many people, we can still do that in order to bring the baby into safety. Rabbi Yehuda says, here's another example. A person on Shabbos can, let's say a person found a barrel of wine or something out, or a barrel of oil or whatever, out in the field. So he can give it to somebody else and who carry it less than 4 amos. And you would even be able to carry it in that way outside the tchum of the city, as long as you have a chain of people, each one passing it to the next one. The chum said, come on. You still can't allow the chavis to go more than the tchum of the owner of it. So the owner of it, let's say, lives in the city, you're fine. Let's say it's Hefker, you became the owner of it, fine. You can't have it taken outside your tum. So we'll see in the Gemara eventually what Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham are arguing about and what then, yeah. So that's what we have to see. Rishus Yach doesn't prevent tum, but we'll see that in the Gemara. We'll see in the Gemara exactly why Rabbi Yehuda is allowing it to take them, is allowing them to take it outside the tum. Okay. So the Gemara starts off, Zug Echad Ein Tfeiloi. Now you're telling me that you can only put on one pair of tefillin at a time and take them into the city, but not more than that. The problem with that, Lema Tnan Stamma the like Rav Meir. Does that mean that here we have a Stam Mishnah not like Rav Meir? Now, of course, we know usually Stam Mishnah Rav Meir. So whenever we have a Mishnah that doesn't, a Stam Mishnah that's not like Rav Meir, then we need to comment on it. So over here, it seems to be not like Rav Meir. The Ikra Meir HaOmar, we have in a case in Masechta Shabbos where a fire broke out and you're trying to save as much of your stuff as possible. And the Mishnah says, Ha'amar, loivish kol mashi yochal lubish, va'oitif kol mashi yochal latif. Rav Meir says you can wear as many clothing as you want, or wrap yourself in as many wraps as you want. Even, let's say, for example, you can put on one shirt on top of another, or one pair of pants on top of another, and take them out to another chotzer that way. By the same logic over here, you should be able to put on as many pair of tefillin as you want. The Tanan we learned in the Mishnah in Shabbos. Uloshom moitzi kol klei tashmishay, to a nearby chotzer, you're allowed to take anything that you need for Shabbos, the loivish kol mashi yochal lubish, v'otif kol mashi yochal latif, and then you can wear whatever as much as you want to wear, and wrap with whatever as much as you want to wrap, even if it's one piece of the same clothing on top of another one, even if it's many shirts, one on top of another one, or many pants, one on top of the other, etc. So the question is, fine. So the point is, in other words, that seems to contradict our Mishnah, where we're only allowing you to take one pair of tefillin at a time. By that logic, you should be able to take as many pairs of tefillin as you want. So the question is, okay, you're telling me that it contradicts that Mishnah, fine. That Mishnah doesn't say Reb Meir's name either. So what makes you say that Stam Mishnah is Reb Meir, and therefore you're wondering about this one? Maybe the other way around. Maybe this one is according to Reb Meir, and that one is according to some other Tana. Okay, so when you get to that Mishnah, in Masechta Shabbos, then you have to deal with it if it's according to the Meir. But you're taking it as a given that one in Shabbos is according to the Meir and asking from it on our Mishnah. How do you know? The answer is, Katani Alo, because we have a Braisa that clarifies what the Mishnah says. Loivish umotzi uposhit, you put on some clothes in the house or the chotzer where the fire broke out, then you take it out to another chotzer, you take off the clothes over there, the loivish umotzi uposhit, and then you go back in, put on some more clothes, and bring them out to the other chotzer and take them off. Afilu kolayim kuloy, that you can continue this even the whole day long. Divrei Rav Meir. So we see that the Braisa is clarifying that the Mishnah is according to the Meir. So now you have the question, therefore. So why in our Mishnah are we saying that you can only take the tefillin in one pair at a time? So the answer is Omar Rava Afilu Teimir Rav Meir. No, the answer is our Mishnah could even go like Rav Meir because Hosam Derech Malbushe Kechol Shavi Rabbanon. Because there, what the Chachamim allow you to do according to Rav Meir is the same way as you sometimes wear clothes on weekdays. V'Hocha Derech Malbushe Kechol Shavi Rabbanon. Here, the Chachamim put the same rule: you can wear the tefillin only in the way that you wear them on weekdays. So let's consider Hosam De Bechol Kama De Lovish. When it comes to weekdays, you can wear as many clothes as you want. Sometimes you do wear a shirt on top of a shirt or pants on top of pants because it's cold, let's say. So therefore, on Shabbos, so therefore, the Rabbanon will allow him to save as many clothing in the same way. Here, even on weekdays, you only wear one pair of tefillin at a time. So therefore, you can only wear one pair at a time because that's no more than you wear on weekdays. And by the way, you have a similar din, for example, as far as belts on Shabbos. You don't wear one belt on top of another on weekdays unless you have a beged in between them where each belt is holding a beged in place. Therefore, on Shabbos, you can't do that either. You can't, for example, this is why when we have the Shabbos key belts, for example, you wear them under your shirt over your tzitzis, because otherwise, if you wore them over your shirt, then your belt already for your pants is functioning the same, is doing the same function, and it would be carrying. So the same thing over here. So actually, now Rashi explains like this: the Gemara is going to start taking up the question now. Is Shabbos Zman Tefillin or not? Do we say, when we know we have to wear tefillin every weekday, is there a mitzvah to wear tefillin on Shabbos as well or not? If we say that Shabbos Zman Tefillin Hu, then we understand why our Mishnah is allowing you to wear the one pair of tefillin at a time. Because it's Zman Tefillin anyway, so fine, you want to put on tefillin, you could. You have a mitzvah to put on tefillin on Shabbos. So therefore, even if it wasn't a matter of saving tefillin, you wouldn't be allowed to take, you'd be allowed to put on one pair, but you only put on one pair at a time, therefore only one pair can you save. Okay, so the Gemara continues. Rav Gamliel, I'm a shnayim shnayim. In the Mishnah, Rav Gamliel had said that you can take in two pair at a time. So my kasalvar. So we have to ask, what as far as this machloikas of Shabbos zman tefillin, he or not? What does Rav Gamliel hold? E kasalvar Shabbos zman tefillin. Who, if he holds that Shabbos is the proper time to wear tefillin, then you should say the same thing. Zug echad ein tefeloi. You should still only be allowed to wear one pair, because again, then we're allowing you to do it like you do it every other day, but every other day you wear only one pair. You never wear more than one pair. So why should you be allowed to? In fact, Tosfos explains, Tosfos and a couple of other Rishonim explain that the Gemara's question is not so much because, like we said, you don't wear more than one pair at a time, but because if it's Zman Tefillin, you wouldn't be allowed to wear more than one pair at a time, because you'd have an issue of Bal Tosfos. You're not allowed to add to mitzvahs, and wearing two pair at the same time would be adding to mitzvahs. Rashi and Rebbe Tam is something else. The fact is, we have a machloikas who the halacha is like. The psak halacha is like Rashi. However, we know apikabolo, there's an idea to wear Rabbeinu Tam tefillin as well. What it says in Shulchan Aruch, and the Gemara is going to mention in a second about wearing the two of them together, if you're going to wear the two of them together, what you have to have in mind is that one, whichever one the halacha is really like, should be the real tefillin that you're wearing to be yotzei mitzvah, and the other one should just be like you're wearing straps or a kameya or something, and you're not actually yotzei mitzvah with it. That way, you're not over on Bal Tosif. But over here, we're talking about two pair of tefillin at the same time. So therefore, so you might two of the same kind of tefillin, so you might be over on Bal Tosif. There is, by the way, an interesting thing in that connection. Rabbi Yitzchok Kohanan Spector has a tshuva where he asks the question, based on that, suppose a person finds Rabbeinu Tam tefillin out in the field on Shabbos. The halacha, after all, is paskin like Rashi. On the other hand, we have many people, like most chassidim, who wear Rabbeinu Tam tefillin as well, because we say apikabola or whatever. So would you be allowed to save them on Shabbos by carrying them in or not? He goes through a whole thing, pro and con, and in the end, he says, the fact is, the halacha is paskin like Rashi, that Rabbeinu Tam tefillin are not considered tefillin. Therefore, yeah, you wouldn't be allowed to do this with Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, he says. To put them on and carry them into the city if you find them out in the field on Shabbos. Even if just they're in the town alone, because the halacha is like that. The halacha as Paskin and Shulchan Aruch is like Rashi, and therefore they've been a town tefillin and are not considered tefillin according to that. Rabbi Natam's, I'm not sure if they can be made into Rashi's, because you have the parashiyos are written in a different, maybe, I mean, you could rearrange the parashiyos, maybe, I don't know, but the fact is, as long as they're out of arrangement, then they're not, yeah. Okay. Remember, also, the tefillin are stitched clothes. You can't unstitch them on Shabbos and re-stitch them, because those would be malachos anyway, right? It has kedusha, but not to the extent where the chachamim are going to allow you to override the usual dinim of Shabbos and take them in. Yeah. Okay.
Question.
No, even if there's a fire or anything. Yeah. What? Well, if a fire, maybe. We had that kisya kodesh you were allowed to save from a fire. Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
question. If you have only a Rabinatam and you haven't made a bracha, are you allowed to make a bracha on it or not?
No, if you have only a Rabinatam, you're not allowed to make a bracha on them because the halacha has been passed in like Rashi. If you put on Rabinatams by mistake, if you took out your Rabinatams and put them on instead of Rashi's and you made the bracha on it, then I think we say, but yeah, but you don't have to take them off. Then you can wear them. Then you can continue wearing them because, you know, there is, after all, the opinion that the halacha is like Rabinatam. You have Rabinatam's own opinion, after all, which, by the way, the Machlokas goes back long before Rashi and Rabinatam. It goes back a lot. We call it Rashi and Rabinatam because it's more well known, but it goes back. We have the Gaonim already argue about it. The Rambam mentions Machlokas about it. It goes back a long way before Rashi and Rabinatam, but whatever. So yeah, if I remember correctly, the halacha is if you accidentally put on Rabinatams and made the bracha, then you don't have to take them off and put on the Rashi's, but you don't make if you only have Rabinatams in the first place, then no, you don't make a bracha on them, as far as I know.
Okay.
So again, if Rabbi Gamliel holds Shabbos Zman Tefillin Hu, then why is he allowing you to wear two pairs? You never wear two pairs together on the weekday. The E Kasava Shabbos Lav Zman Tefillin Hu, if he holds that Shabbos is not the right time to wear Tefillin, and the Chachamim are allowing it because it's considered a Tachshit, so it's not considered that you're carrying, it's just considered a Tachshit, even though it's not the normal way to wear them on Shabbos. Umishum HaTzola Derech Malbo Shor LeRabbanan, and the Chachamim are allowing it in order to save the Tefillin, and they're allowing you, therefore, to wear it on your head and on your arm, after the Tefeinami, then you should be allowed even more than two. Why is he limiting you only to two then in that case? You should be able to put on as many as you can fit on your arm and as many as you can fit on your head. If anyway, Shabbos Lav Zman Tefillin. The answer is, La'olam Kasava Shabbos Lav Zman Tefillin. We can answer, Rav Gamliel does hold Shabbos is not the time to wear Tefillin. V'chi Shorer Rabbanon. The Inyanat Sala, Derech Malbush, when are the Chum allowing you, in order to save the Tefillin, Derech Malbush, that you can wear the Tefillin, is only B'mokim Tefillin, only if you're putting them in the actual place where the Tefillin go. So you can't, for example, let's say, take the Tefillin, and let's say, put them on, let's say, for example, wrap them around your forearm, let's say, and carry them in that way, and say, yeah, but it's Derech Malbush. Because not, you have to have to be in the proper place where Tefillin is placed. So therefore, two on the left arm, and two on that, or on the right arm, if you're right, if you're a lefty, I mean, and two on the head. So the question then is, Ihochi Zug Echad Nami Ein Tfeiloi, then in that case still, you only wear one pair at a time. So why is Rav Gamliel allowing you two pair? The answer is, Omer Shmuel Bar Yitzchok Mokam Yesh Barosh Lohaniach Bei Shnei Tfilin. There is, in fact, enough room on the head to place two pair tfilin. By the Kohen Gadol, the Tzitz, right. In fact, Tosfos mentions that point over here. So now, Rashi explains, so there's a couple of interesting things over here. First of all, Rashi learns that the reason why the Chachamim are allowing you to wear the tefillin only in the proper place, not anywhere else, is because otherwise they stick out too much. Now, Rashi in our sugya holds like this. We know the Gemara is going to mention in a minute that the proper place for tefillin is Mokum Shemoich Shaltinik Reifes, the place where a baby's head pulsates. We know where a baby's head is soft when it's first born, that the skull plates haven't closed up yet. Rashi learns that what it means is the whole tefillin has to fit within that area. So this that we do, that we put the tefillin by our hairline, and it extends up to there, that's according to the Rosh's understanding of the Gemara, which is that the halacha is like that. Rashi learns the entire tefillin has to be in that spot. And Rashi points out, therefore, even in an adult, the head is still, you have a tiny bit of an indentation in the head over there. So therefore, you put the tefillin over there, they don't stick out as much. As opposed to you put them anywhere else on the head, they're going to stick out more, and therefore the Chachamim aren't going to allow it. Tosfos says that that's not the reason. The reason is it's only called a malbush if you put it where it's supposed to normally be placed. If you put it anywhere else, it can't be called a malbush. That's why we're only allowing you to place it where it's normally placed. But why is Rav Gamliel allowing you to? Is because you can wear two tefillin at a time. Now here, Tosfos mentions a point that... First of all, by the way, you have different understandings among the poskim. Do we mean that there's room to put them two, one next to the other, or one behind the other, one above the other? But second of all, also Tosfos mentions, does our Gemara seem to imply that there's a certain size for tefillin? Because if we're saying that there's room to put on two, that means there's a certain maximum size and maybe a certain minimum size also. After all, if there was no minimum size for tefillin, then why dafka two? You could put three, you could put four, depending how. So therefore, so Tosfos mentions over here a concept of a shear of bays etzbois, which actually is in connection with the tzitz, because the tzitz with two its bois wide. The Alter Rebbe mentions that in Shulchan Aruch, also from Shemusha Rabba, also from various other Rishonim. This is where we get the Dalet al Dalet tefillin that we wear, because Dalet al it's 40, it's about 40 by 40 centimeters, about 40 by 40 millimeters, I mean. An etzba is 2 centimeters. So 2 by 2 equals so 2 by 2 comes out to so 2 etzbas of 2 centimeters each comes out 4 centimeters. So that's why we have the tefillin that are 4 by 4 centimeters. The Velt understands though differently that the shear that we're saying of beis etzbas is the largest that the tefillin can be. They could be smaller than that, and therefore the Velt often uses slightly smaller tefillin. So can we put two of our trillin based on what Tosfos is saying? It sounds like you could. But again, does that mean side by side? Then you have the question, you know, like this, for example, we use a mirror. People use a mirror to make sure the trillin are exactly in the middle. Is that necessary if you say that you can put the two of them side by side? Or does it mean, again, that you can put one behind the other, one further up on the head than the other? Then, yeah, each one still has to be exactly in the middle. So the question is, Hanicha de Rosh. Okay, so that takes care of the Shal Rosh. Why you can put two of them together, because there is in fact room to put two of them together. Diyad Mai Ikalamema, what are you going to say about the Tefillin Shal Yad? Or where would you ever put on that you only have the biceps is kosher for Tefillin. How much room do you have there already? The answer is Kiddur Rav Huna, like Rav Huna says. The Amar Rav Huna, Amem Sha'adam Baman Asada Bachavilasa Al Rosh. Sometimes, now remember, in those days they wore tefillin all day. So sometimes a person comes home from the field, Bachavilasa Al Rosh. He has a bundle on his head, and he doesn't want to be holding the bundle on his head while he's wearing his tefillin, because it would be a bazillion for the tefillin. In fact, you have a Gemara in Bav Metzia of all places that talks about the dinim about that, about when you actually have to remove the tefillin versus when not, when you're carrying a bundle on your head. So you take the tefillin off your head, and he ties it onto his arm next to the tefillin shal yad. So yes, in other words, the same way as there is room for two tefillin shal rosh on the head, the same way there's room for two tefillin on the arm, and sometimes you actually do that when you're carrying something on your head, and temporarily you put the tefillin shal rosh over there. Using both hands, apparently not, I don't know. So the question is, that's different. Rav Huna is telling us that you can put the second tefillin on the arm just in order that you don't have a bizoyin, so you don't have a bundle on your head on top of the tefillin. No. Roy mi omar, but did he say that it's roy to put the after all, we still have to have, it still has to be considered a tachshit relative to Hilchos Shabbos. So where do we see that it's roy to put two tefillin on the arm? So the answer is yeah. The same way as we just said there's room on the head for two tefillin, the same way on the arm there is in fact room to put on two tefillin.
Question.
Yeah.
You don't seem to consider the size of the tefillin. I mean, they used to have...
That's what Tosfos is saying. We do have to consider the size of the tefillin. That's
what does that mean?
Well, so what that means is that's what Tosfos is mentioning in the Beis Etzbos. So again, does Tosfos mean that Beis Etzbos is the minimum size for tefillin? That's what we hold. That's how the Alter Rebbe holds, and therefore our tefillin, therefore, in general, Lubavitcher tefillin are at least 40 by 40 millimeters, which is 2 etzbos. Or do we say that 2 etzbos is the maximum, and it can be smaller than that, which is what the Velt does, that they often have smaller tefillin. They have tefillin that are 35 millimeters or 30 or whatever, yeah.
How can 2 etzbos be the minimum size?
2 etzbos can be the minimum size, because then we would say, in other words, that there would be 4 etzbos space to work with. And if you have 4 etzbos space, then in each one you have a trillion of 2 etzbos, and therefore you're good. Okay, let's finish up over here. If you want, we can talk about this afterwards. But yeah, so the point is that you have the different opinions among the poskim. What the proper size of tefillin is. But yeah, based on what the Gemara is saying is over here, that at any rate, however, whatever size you make them, there is room on the proper part of the head and on the proper part of the arm to put 2 pair of them. But no more than 2 is the point. So that's you have, for example, these tiny tefillin that sometimes you have even in archaeological digs, they found even smaller ones. It seems a little hard to understand based on this, because it sounds like there would be room for many more than 2 in that case. Okay. So the Gemara mentions in this connection, Tana Dvei Menashe. Now, we learn in a Braisa of the Yeshiva of Menashe, when the Pasuk says, Al Yodcha, Shartim La'osa Yodcha, Zuki Boris, it means the biceps, the upper arm muscle. Beinei Necha Zukodka. And when it says, V'hoyu L'tetavis Beinei Necha, means on the head, means on the skull. It doesn't mean between the eyes, literally. It means above the hairline. So again, as we just said, according to Rashi, it means it has to be completely within the area where Mokum Shel Tunic Reifes. According to the Rosh, it just means that it goes up. So that's the question. Hecha, where is that place on the codcoid, on the head? Amri Dvei Rav Yana, they said in the Yeshiva Rav Yana, Mokum Shel Moichah Shel Tunic Reifes, the place where baby's head pulsates. Again, according to Rashi, the whole Tefillin Shel Rosh has to fit within that. According to the Rosh, that just means that's the highest that any part of the Tefillin Shel Rosh can be, which is how we're knowing the bottom part of it is by the hairline, and the highest it can go is by this Mokum Shel Tunic, Mokum Shel Tunic Reifes. Okay, so the Gemara says, Lema B'Dudav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchok Kamiflagi. Do we have to say then that we have a machlokas within what Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchok is saying? In this, that Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchok had said that there's room on the head for two tefillin and there's room on the arm for two tefillin. Does it mean maybe that the Tanakhama and Rav Gamliel and our Mishnah are arguing about that? The Tanakhama is only allowing one because the Tanakhama less slated Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchok, but Rav Gamliel is slated Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchok. Meanwhile, Rav Gamliel would agree with Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchok that there is in fact room for two, and therefore he's allowing you to wear two at a time. So the Gemara says, "Loi, the Kula Alma Islo Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchok." No, the answer is both Rav Gamliel and the Chachamim could agree with Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchok. There is, in fact, room on the head for two shel roshes. There is room on the arm for two shel yads. V'hocha b'Shabbos zman tefillin kamiflagi. We can say the actual machlokas of the Tanakhama and Rav Gamliel is Shabbos the proper time to wear tefillin? The Tanakhama saw Shabbos zman tefillin. So the Tanakhama holds that Shabbos is not tefillin. Therefore, the Chachamim are only allowing you to wear as much as you would at the time of the mitzvah. Because, first of all, again, the Chachamim are modeling it on the way you do it during the week. During the week, you only wear one pair. Therefore, on Shabbos, we're only going to allow one pair, even though physically there's room for two. Also, again, you have the problem of Bal Tosif. If Shabbos is not tefillin and you wear two pairs, then you're over on the mitzvah of Bal Tosif. So, therefore, they're only allowing you one. But Yom Gamliel saw Shabbos is not tefillin, whereas Yom Gamliel would hold that Shabbos is not the time for tefillin. So, therefore, the Chachamim are allowing you it because of Tachshit. So, as much as you can wear that it's a Tachshit, then you're allowed to. Since there's room to wear two of them at a time, then two of them can be considered a Tachshit. Even though men don't, men wear certain kinds of tachshitim. We learned in Shabbos there are certain kinds of things that men are allowed to wear that are considered tachshitim for them. So, and obviously there's no problem with baltosif because not zman tefillin anyway. So therefore, Rav Gamliel is going to allow you two pair at a time. So that's one way of understanding the machlokas of Rav Gamliel and the Chachamim. So we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, with some other, the Gemara is going to give like four or five different ways of understanding the machlokas of Rav Gamliel and the Chachamim, why the Tanakhama, which we said is Rav Meir, is allowing you only one pair at a time, and Rav Gamliel is allowing you two pair at a time. So again, one aspect of it is it depends on whether Shabbos is on filling. The Gemara is going to bring up a couple of other possibilities, and then we're going to get into the more general discussion of whether Shabbos is on filling or not, which will be tomorrow, Beis Hashem. So now, Avraham Moshe, to address what you're asking, yes. So what we're saying is that there is a certain minimum and maximum size. Tosfos is arguing over here. There has to be a size for tefillin based on the Gemara over here. Tosfos is two etzbos, but then you have within that you have the Achronim argue. Do we mean that the minimum is two etzbos, or do we mean that the maximum is two etzbos? The Alter Rebbe learns that it means the minimum is two etzbos, which is why we have tefillin that are two etzbos, 40 millimeters. And then you have, which is also based on Shimush Rabba and other Rishonim. On the other hand, the Beis Yosef mentions over there that maybe it means that the maximum is two, because if it's any larger than two, then you're not going to have two of them fit together, and therefore that means that the maximum is two, but you can have them smaller than that if you want, which is what the Velt does.
How can you say that if the minimum is two, you're going to have enough four etzbaos on the head or on the arm?
Well, four etzbaos is 8 centimeters, which is about 3 inches. It's plausible enough. I mean, you have to remember, the tefillin that we have, the Dalet al Dalet tefillin that we have, you also have, remember, the tetura sticks out from among them. The tetura sticks out from underneath. But the tetura doesn't have to be as wide as we make it nowadays. It could, in principle, be very narrow. So the bottom of the base of the tefillin could also be really just over 40. It could be, you know, 42 or something. And then, you know, yeah, so you have, so you're talking the whole size of the base of the tefillin could be like an inch and a half. Two of them next to each other would be 3 inches. Fine, there's room enough on the head. There's room enough on the head, and there's room enough on the biceps to have 3 inches over there.
But it has to be on the bulging, on the top of the biceps, doesn't it?
Actually, the better place to put it, really, the poskim say, is on the bottom half of the biceps. So now you still need, obviously, you have to, the biceps ends a couple of inches before the elbow. You can't put it too close to the elbow. But actually, the preferred place for it is on the lower half of the biceps, because then it's closer to your heart. If you can't, if it sticks out to the upper half, then fine. When you say makom yesh laniach b'shnei tefillin, either we're talking about, again, one closer to the body and one a little further out, or we're talking about one on the lower half and one on the upper half. Again, you look at our tefillin, it's a little hard to see that because the tetura sticks out, so the tetura and the ma'avauta stick out so much, but it's not like they have to, al pi halacha, stick out that much. And if they don't, then you have much more room to work with. The size we're talking about is primarily the size of the bias.
So it's between the top of the biceps you have to put them and the elbow?
Yes. Well, between the middle of the biceps and the not in the elbow. The biceps ends a couple of inches above the elbow. A couple of inches above the elbow, the lower part of the tefillin can't be lower than that. It can't be closer to the elbow than that, because then it's not on the biceps anymore. And the upper half ideally should be below the midpoint of the biceps. But if you can't, then it can stick out into the upper half as well, closer to your shoulder, as long as the whole thing is physically on the biceps. Yeah.
So that the reason why it has to be in the lower half of the biceps is it's closer to your heart.
That
one's
closer
makes
to your heart, yeah. Yeah. That's uh-huh. supposed to be al lavavecha, right? Yeah.
Shkeach.
Okay. Shkeach.
Shkeach.